You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to a Friday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening, for subscribing, and to those of you who support us on Patreon. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil. David, what's up? We haven't spoken since, like, Monday night. What's going on?
It's been a crazy week for both of us. I mean, it's hard covering the league, especially during this little stretch before the playoffs. And look, I mean, life just gets in the way, but somehow we find a way to always come back to this podcast and keep track of our team.
This is home base. This is where everything starts. This is where everything ends. We haven't done this for a while, the Guess the Record show. We've done it so many Fridays this season, but we missed the last 2 weeks. David, we don't need to make excuses. But we have them, traveling, recaps, so on, etc. But let's just quickly rehash where we're at right now for the listeners who don't know, because they can't know. You and I have been keeping track of our predictions, just basically via text messages, even if we haven't done them on the podcast. So you won the first week after the All-Star break. You actually also won the last week we did this before the All-Star break. I had basically been nursing a one-week advantage going into that All-Star break. But you've evened things up now.
Yeah, it's kind of the story of the tortoise and the hare, Wes. You thought you were going to go ahead and eclipse. You know, you had a comfortable lead there. You kind of took the brakes off, took a little chance here and there. You were feeling the risk every once in a while. And
I did. Well, I was playing with my chips too much.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's caught up to you, but clearly it has, and I'm going to bask in the glory. Just like the Heat, I'm feeling comfortable of where I am right now, and I'm confident I'm going to eke out a victory for the season.
So we didn't do it last week either, but the Heat played Brooklyn on Saturday, Atlanta on Monday, and then Charlotte this last Wednesday, and they won all three games.
They did.
You and I predicted that they would win two of the three games. We both predicted they would go 2-1 with losses, with a loss against Brooklyn. We both thought that that would be what would happen, and we both predicted wins against Atlanta and Charlotte. Turns out they beat Brooklyn, so they're 3-0, which means we tied last week again. And so it's a brand new season, David. It's 0-0 right now. I mean, we are at a dead tie with only a few more weeks left in the regular season. Just like it for the Heat, now is go time between you and I. And the Heat have been getting things done. They've won three straight games. Don't look now, but they are in the number 8 spot in the Eastern Conference. They have a game lead on Orlando and Charlotte for the number 8 seed. They are the top team in the Southeast Division. And by the way, they're only 2.5 games out of the 6th seed. What the hell is going on?
Well, they're not going to lose a game for the rest of the season. Clearly, that's the case. I mean, they've won 3 in a row. What's to stop them from winning the next 20 or so games? I mean, that's pretty clearly 30, the case here.
30-0. Screw 30-11. Who needs them?
That's right. Now, look, I think, as I badly discussed on my latest podcast when you were in Sacramento, I think the rotation has been a godsend for Eric Spoelstra. He's kind of, you know, had to, as he has throughout the course of the season, figure things out on the fly. It's worked out because he's had a couple of players go out with injury, notably Goran Dragic, who was back in Miami nursing a calf injury, James Johnson, who was out with his shoulder problems, and then Hassan Whiteside, who's been kind of slowly worked back into the lineup. But coming off the bench, that's been the saving, defining moment for the season, I think. And the rotation as it currently stands, probably tightening up to about 9 players right now with that starting unit firmly ensconced. One of the questions we got from Kyle, one of our loyal listeners, was whether or not Hassan Whiteside would continue to come off the bench. I think that's the case. I think he saw in Charlotte how dominant he can be in a few minutes of time playing against lesser backup centers. And, you know, Bismack Biyombo is not nearly the dominating presence, well, never, that he ever actually was. But in any case, Whiteside certainly took advantage of it. And I think Spoelstra feels comfortable like this. And one of the things I said was that probably James and Roddy Magruder would be out of the lineup altogether with Derek Jones Jr. and Goran Dragic filling those roles admirably for the rest of the season, barring, of course, any other injury. And I think that's been the spark for this latest three-game win streak. And I'm hoping it'll continue going into Cleveland and some upcoming games in the next week.
Of course you do. I mean, you mentioned Whiteside being comfortable coming off the bench. I think the culture has just basically gotten to him. I don't know.
No.
He seems comfortable. Look, he this is according to Barry Jackson, Miami Herald. When asked about coming off the bench, Whiteside said, what Coach Spo wants, I will do that. If he wants me to start, I'll start. If he wants me to come off the bench, I will come off the bench. You just try to control your minutes when you're out there and make an impact on the game. I was just trying to read the game and see how I can come in and make an impact. I mean, that's some good stuff right there. I mean, I love Whiteside coming off the bench.
Barry has been the Whiteside whisperer. He's working this angle ever since the blow-up late last season and in the playoffs. He's kind of tried to figure out what the deal is with Whiteside. And he likes to poke the sleeping bear when it comes to Hassan. We've seen this a number of times from Barry. Hassan is not going to give you a great quote, but if he's sufficiently angered or upset about something, he'll speak. It seems to be the case when he gave those quotes before the Hornets game. Now that they've gotten that win where he had a dominant presence, maybe I could see him being a little bit more comfortable with it. When I first read that piece from Barry, I did not think that Hassan was comfortable with it. I thought he was kind of saying, whatever, I'll do it. You know, I have no choice. That's what coach wants. But now
isn't that progress? Isn't that progress based on like where he was last season, where he's just complaining about it? Like I'd rather have him just being like, all right, I'll do whatever coach wants, as opposed to being like, why the hell aren't I playing in the end of the fourth quarter? You know, like this, it is a step in the right direction.
Well, Spoelstra left him in the fourth against the Hornets, maybe it's a comfortable medium that the two parties have reached. I'm not sure if it'll look. I don't know if it'll stay this way. I think it should, obviously, and I think it will. But I don't have any prescient knowledge whether or not it's going to stay this way. I mean, Spoelstra has been known to change things around. So, what's your prediction on it? Since I didn't get a chance to talk to you about it yesterday.
I would agree with you. I think that Whiteside will continue to come off the bench, barring another injury or something like that. But with the way things are going, with the fact that having this starting unit in place has elevated this team from out of the playoff race completely to firmly entrenched right now into the number 8 seed and in control of their own destiny, really. It would be insane to switch that lineup. I don't think Spoelstra will do it. And I kind of think Spoelstra has been waiting for this sort of thing to happen as an excuse to start bringing Whiteside off the bench. Because it's pretty clear that Bam, I mean, it's just, you watch the games, look at the numbers. Bam Adebayo is better as a starter. Everything fits better, especially with James Johnson not being 100% healthy. It allows you to play Olynyk and Bam together. And Olynyk, in these last three games, David, is averaging almost 20 points per game. That's not just because he's making shots. That's because he's playing next to Bam in that starting lineup. It just unlocks everything. It just makes more sense. And sometimes it's not even about who the better player is. Like, I'm not arguing that Bam is a better center than Whiteside necessarily, even though I do believe that at this point. But he just fits better in that starting unit, and that's really what's important. And by the way, in these last three games, that starting lineup, Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, Deion Waiters, Kelly Olynyk, and Bam Adebayo, a plus 24.6 net rating in those last three games that Miami won. Now, granted, one of those games was against the Atlanta Hawks, who are not super good. And that blowout against Brooklyn was probably more of an anomaly than something that you can count on regularly. But still, they play really well together. So we'll see if this continues. And I do think that Bam will continue to start and Whiteside will continue to come off the bench. But let's look ahead to next week. We'll do that after this break. All right, David, time to guess the record for this upcoming week. The Heat play the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. Should be a good one. Sunday versus Toronto, Wednesday versus Detroit. Let's start with tonight's game against Cleveland. So far, David, the Heat are 3-0 against the Cavs. This is the final game of the season series. The last time that these two teams played on January 25th, Justice Winslow scored 27 points. Whiteside had 14 points and 13 rebounds. But more importantly, tonight starts a 5-game homestand. This is key for the Heat. Again, They are in possession of the number 8 seed. This 5-game homestand can really start to put some distance between them and Orlando and Charlotte, and maybe even help them catch up to teams like Brooklyn or Detroit for possibly a 6th seed. They're only 2.5 games back.
You're absolutely right. I kind of said the same thing in the podcast yesterday, but at the same time, I mean, looking at that slate of opponents, it doesn't bode well for Miami. Even this Cavaliers matchup, as much as we want to say it's a likely win, look, Kevin Love is back in the lineup. He'll face Miami for the first time this season, and he's going up against Kelly Olynyk. So that should be an interesting matchup, too. Like, I know that there's clearly beef between the two players, although I think that's fairly squashed and probably overstated at this point. But I'm wondering how Olynyk is going to handle the defensive matchup against...
I'll just pull his elbow out. Problem solved.
Let's hope that's not the case. Have you seen... Look, I've got to say this because it's one of the things that I haven't known, really. I mean, and watching Kelly over the last two seasons in Miami, I don't think he's a dirty player. He takes chances. I think he's a little under-athletic, let's say, and he probably makes up for it with effort that could somewhat lead to occasionally rough play. He is largely viewed by opposing fan bases as a cheap shot artist, and I don't think that's the case. I think, look, he's had a couple bad games, Kelly Oubre, Kevin Love, etc., but I don't think he's a cheap player. Do you?
No, I think the moments that he has had have come on such stages that people just have those takeaways, right? Like that Kevin Love issue happened in the playoffs, and then people were understandably upset about it, right? Especially Cavs fans. But I don't think he's a dirty player. I think you're right. Like, he is not the most athletic guy, so you have to make up for that in different places. And a lot of times that's just being physical, and stuff happens. Stuff happens. But tonight versus Cleveland, I still think even with Kevin Love working his way back in, the Cavaliers aren't a good team. And I have this as a win for the Heat.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you. I think the rest of that lineup is not good. They're somewhat tanking. I think it's a pretty heavily favored towards tank. They're still without Tristan Thompson, right? He's going to be out for the game. So I think they're going to be, a little undermanned there. And that's fine. I mean, they've undergone some changes this season. They're trying to figure out how to play without LeBron. And they're incorporating Love back into the lineup. And he's played mostly well. I don't think they're playing for much. And I think in Miami... they'll probably take the night off, and I think Miami could cruise to a pretty easy win here.
Yeah, I expect a lot of zone in this game, and then just to kind of screw with Colin Sexton, their rookie point guard there. By the way, I already mentioned that this starts a 5-game homestand. Miami has won their last 3 home games. And that had been an issue for the Heat this whole season, but they beat Atlanta at home, they beat Brooklyn at home, they beat the Warriors at home. They might be starting to figure this out. I don't know. Again, small sample size, blah, blah, blah. But it's a good sign if you're a Heat fan hoping for a playoff run, which I'm not. I'm still not, like, fully on board for that. I still think tanking would be better, but I think that it's just not going to happen. So, whatever. Sunday versus Toronto. The Heat are 0-2 so far against the Raptors this season. Last time these teams played, December 26th, day after Christmas. Justice Winslow had 21 points, but Kawhi had 30 points. And... Danny Green and Fred VanVleet combined to make 8 3-pointers in that game. Toronto's still playing well. They're 7-3 in their last 10. This is going to be a tough game for the Heat.
Yeah, look, their depth, their quality of play is something else. I mean, they're at the top of the Eastern Conference alongside Milwaukee there for good reason.
First time the Heat are playing them since the addition of Marc Gasol and Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, that doesn't help Miami's chances any. I still remember that December 26th game where they faced the Raptors there, and I remember hearing Dwayne specifically talking about this matchup because the matchup before had been a bad loss that ended up not being as bad. Like in the final tally, I think they wound up losing by 10, but they were blown out for most of the game, and Miami had just cut that lead short in the fourth quarter. And for Dwayne and the rest of the team, they were looking at that December 26th matchup as a good opportunity to kind of show themselves as an improving team. And, of course, a lot has happened since then. They wound up losing that matchup, as you said. I wonder if they're kind of shifting a little bit now and they're going to look at it and say, look, this is an opportunity for us to prove that we can take on the better teams in the Eastern Conference with this new Titans rotation and make an impact. I'm scared of the matchup because, again, Toronto is a much better team than Miami, and I think that's clear. But I think Miami might be able to find a way to win this one. You know, you can't discount South Beachitis, which, you know, everybody around the league suffers from at some point or another.
So this it's an early Sunday game.
Yeah. So I'm sure a lot of Toronto players will be at least more than slightly hungover when they face the Heat. that's the best advantage you can hope for.
Who do you think gets after it the most on that Raptors roster? This is an easy one, I think.
Is it?
Uh-huh. I think it is. Who do you think?
All right. It's not Gasol. It's not... Ibaka?
I was going to go with Gasol. You don't think it's Gasol?
No.
You don't think he's sipping sangria on South Beach?
No. He's going to have a bottle of wine at a good restaurant. He's going to eat.
Okay.
I mean, he'll be happy, I'm sure. But I think Ibaka's got some places there. He's probably got a condo
right.
Man, who else?
Ibaka
Kyle
might get
Lowry,
after.
No.
No, Lowry's too grumpy. He might do like that drink alone thing in his hotel room. Ooh. But he's not getting after it. He's been grumpy all season. He's been weird. I could see like Fred VanVleet just like going crazy because he's like relatively anonymous.
Yeah,
he's like
relatively
anonymous, so he can kind of just like stay out late. Like he's got the money to get into LIV, but he doesn't like necessarily need to like hide in the corner there, so he can have like a good time, you know?
Well, it's not Danny Green. It's not Jeremy Lin either.
No.
Siakam? No.
I mean, Siakam's just sort of happy to be here. I don't think he needs the extra lubrication. I like your Ibaka pick. Let's go with Ibaka. We'll know on Sunday. We'll be able to tell pretty easily. Again, it's early game, so it should be a fun one. 3:30 tip on that one. So, the next game is Wednesday versus Detroit. We remember the last
Are you predicting a win?
Didn't predict it. I'm predicting a loss.
Okay, I'm predicting the win on that. So I'm taking the chance this time around.
I'm
saying Miami's going to find a way to beat Toronto.
Bold strategy, Cotton. Wednesday versus Detroit. We remember the last time these teams were played. February 23rd, just a few days after that All-Star break. Disappointing loss. What basically I came onto this podcast and said it was a make-or-break game for the season, and they lost the game, and I was like, well, that's it. Playoffs are over. The Pistons outscored the Heat 35-20 in that fourth quarter. That was a really tough loss. But this game... The Heat have a chance to tie the season series. This is the final game of the series. The Heat are down 1-2. But the Pistons have been playing really well lately, David. They're 8-2 in their last 10. This is going to be a tough one.
Yeah. I don't know how this one's going to fare. Look, Blake has suffered a little bit post-All-Star game. I'm not sure if he's undergoing any kind of injury issue. Maybe something lingering, or he hasn't been as explosive. He's been great overall, but I think for his numbers... They've taken a little bit of a dive, but it's been the super play of everybody else that's kind of propped up this Pistons team, and they are actually playing at a pretty high level. I think you have to look at Andre Drummond, a guy who's matched up well with Whiteside in the past, and if that starting lineup with Bam continues to play, I wonder how Adebayo is going to match up with Drummond. He's not going to be able to keep a guy like Drummond off the bench. I mean, I was off the boards, so I wonder if Adebayo might get into foul trouble early. But, you know, you've also got Reggie Jackson, who's playing at a higher level. Luke Kennard's been a factor off the bench as well, and you can't discount what Wayne Ellington can do. Maybe he has another opportunity there for a revenge game. You know, not his second game back in American Airlines Arena after the trade. So it's a... It's not an easy one for Miami. I've got to go with a loss on this one. As much as I'd like Miami to say that this is a good opportunity for them to, again, continue to gain ground in the Eastern Conference playoff race, I just think Detroit's playing at a higher level, and I don't like that matchup with Drummond and Adebayo, so I've got to give the Pistons a nod.
I'm going with the loss, too, here. I just think that the Pistons are too good. For all the reasons you just said, like you could key in on Blake Griffin, but all these other guys have been stepping up lately. And so for all the things that you laid out, I'm also going with the loss. So I've got the Heat going 1-2. They beat Cleveland. They lose the games versus Toronto and Detroit. You have the Heat going 2-1 over this next three games. beating Cleveland and Toronto, losing ultimately to Detroit. So that would still probably keep the Heat in that playoff spot. But who knows? I mean, this is the final stretch. So more importantly, we got to talk about the Dwayne Wade jersey swaps. That's coming up after the break. All right, David, let's wrap things up here with some jersey swap predictions. Cleveland, tonight. What do you think?
He hasn't gone with Kevin Love yet, right?
Because he's been injured.
Correct. So you got to go with K-Love. I mean,
I think that's the easy one. Yeah.
I think Kevin Love in Miami, he's had the tendency Dwayne has of giving the jersey to the hometown star or favorite player at those opposing arenas. The way he gave Steph the jersey in Golden State, you know, those kinds of things. And Dirk, of course, in Dallas. So even though Kevin Love is a Cavaliers superstar, I think he'd rather do it in Miami. Again, because he hasn't had that opportunity before. Maybe he was planning something all along. But, you know, they played together last season. I think there was a begrudging friendship that was formed there and an admiration. And Kevin's a pretty good teammate from everything we've heard. So I've got to go with Kevin Love.
Yep. I think that's it.
Janny Fry could be a...
Yeah, we've kicked that one around. I think he's got to give it the Love. I mean, Brandon Knight, maybe. I mean, he's on the roster.
Miami guy.
Like, maybe he's like Dwayne Wade. Hey, I know it's been a tough couple of years. Here's my jersey. Hopefully this fixes everything. I don't know. Maybe some potential there, but I'm going to go with Kevin Love. Sunday versus Toronto. What's your prediction on this one? This could be a tough one. Who have we seen from Toronto get the jersey already? Have we seen anybody?
I think he did it with Kyle.
Yeah, I think you're right. Kyle Lowry.
Oh, and DeLon Wright.
That's right, obviously. Yeah. So who gets it this time?
I'm going to go off here and say OG Anunoby because of the Tom Crean connection.
That's a good one. I'm going Jeremy Lin because of marketing.
Well, I mean, from Dwayne's perspective, he could look at Lin and say, you know what, putting the kibosh on Lin's sanity was a defining moment for that big three team. And one mm-hmm. of the, even though Mario Chalmers and Norris Cole should get a lot more credit for that than they do. I could see the Jeremy Lin connection there. I mean, nobody else right now. He's not giving it to Ibaka. He's not giving it to Gasol. There's nobody.
Danny Green is the only other guy, ooh, like a healthy respect for, like, man, you made a lot of three-pointers against us. I could see that. I could see Danny Green. But look, they've got another game against the Raptors later in the year, so maybe you could save one of those. Go with the – and I think the other game is in Toronto.
It is. It is at Toronto, April 7th.
Yeah, so maybe you go, you know, off the beaten path here. You go an OG or a Jeremy Lin, and then you save, like, one of those starters, one of those big guys for them for – when they're in front of their home crowd. There's a strategy to all this.
Oh, there could be a Van Vliet sighting, too. I could see him kind of saying, you play the right way, and he wants to give it to Van Vliet off the bench. Although Norm Powell's another option as well.
Okay. Let's put a pin in that, because I got something to say after we're done with this next one. So, Wednesday versus Detroit, our last game here. Jersey swap. I'm going Luke Kennard.
Yes.
Okay. It's been a little... Dwayne Wade has been hanging out around some Duke people a lot, according to his Instagram. I think it's getting to him. I think he's going Luke Kennard, especially because Kennard's starting to come on strong here post All-Star break.
Yeah, it makes sense. You know, another shooting guard, another guy, he could say, you know what, I like your game, I like your potential. I don't think Kennard's the type to reach out to Dwayne and say, I want in on this. But there aren't a lot of other options. I think
he could reach out through Justice, though, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They may even hang out together the night before, you know, establish that Duke connection a little further. It's not Reggie Jackson. I don't think that connection's there.
I'd throw up if it was Reggie Jackson.
you're not a big Reggie Jackson fan, are you?
He's not good. I don't know. Like, I don't like the way he plays.
Blake?
All right. What?
Could he go Blake?
Blake Griffin? Has Blake not gotten it yet?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, then maybe, yeah, Blake. Maybe Blake. If Blake hasn't gotten it, then I would. That's a good shot at that. All right, I want to wrap up here. We're going to add yet another wrinkle to this Friday show.
Uh-oh.
The Kevin Huerter jersey swap was by... the more I think about it, the more it's my favorite. Like, I keep seeing the video pop up on my Instagram feed and everything. I love that jersey swap so much.
Well, do you hear how it all played out?
What do you mean?
Like, Kevin Herter, how it worked out? Like, apparently he had revealed to Vince Carter that he grew up idolizing Wade, which is why he wears number 3 in the first place. Mm. And so Carter, as the older statesman on the team, reached out to Dwayne Wade on Herter's behalf and said, give him the jersey. And that's why Herter was so shocked, because he didn't know about any of this. But apparently Wade had been planning it through the machinations of Vince Carter, and that's why he wound up giving the jersey to Kevin Herter.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's the network of veterans that we see around the league nowadays.
It is. And that was a cool game, by the way. I know we already talked about it, but Wade and Vince Carter both stepping up in that same game. That was pretty neat. True. So let's talk about, like, the Kevin Herter jersey swap potential, the one that just comes out of nowhere. We already made our predictions, but just if you had to place one bet on just this random dude, the guy that gets pulled out of the tunnel and has no idea it's about to happen, out of these three games, all right, so you get to pick one guy off these three teams, the Cavs, the Raptors, the Pistons. Who's your guy? And I'll start, and I'll help you out here. I'll give you a hint. Since Herter is wearing number 3 for Dwayne Wade, did a quick look on the rosters of guys who wear number 3. OJ Nunnaby is the number 3 wearer. And then for the Cavaliers, Marquese Chris. Nobody wears number 3 for the Pistons.
Yeah, I mean...
You don't have to go with one of those, but...
kind of works out. I mean, look, there is that Tom Crean thing.
It's too obvious. Anunoby doesn't count.
Okay.
It's too obvious.
Well, other than that, I can't really see... I mean, Norm Powell could be a guy.
I like the Norm Powell one. That's a good one.
You know, he's another two-guard. He's got potential there. He hasn't really maximized his time at Toronto. He's been a little inconsistent. His playing time has been yoked around a lot. It's tough. I can't see anybody stand out as... I mean, I wouldn't be shocked at this point. I think the Benny the Bull one and the Frank Mason, like, I think that was in the same week, and that was just kind of changed my perspective completely. Like, I'm thinking he's going to exchange with a fellow superstar. This is his motivations the whole time. But he's been so off the wall with his choices that I can't say for certain where he'll go next.
Kyrie Thomas for the Pistons.
I have no
just
idea
a dude. He's a dude that's been getting minutes for them. That's my... Okay. I've got no other reason than that. I just thought he was a random dude. I'm
Thon McCurr? Thon McCurr?
Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know. He doesn't play guard, though. I feel like Wade has the respect for the guards. Maybe he likes the way Kyrie Thomas plays, just like he liked Kevin Herter. All right. Now that we're talking about Kyrie Thomas, I think it's time to wrap things up. That's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. Connect with us on Twitter at LockedOnHeat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes. Yeah!